Movie Man 6-second review starts now.
A timely, important biopic in one of the best movies of the year. If you have a dream, march to see Selma by me.
Do you have troubled skin or acne? With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Call Proactive Plus now and receive a 60-day free trial along with 2 free extras and free shipping. Call 800-677-6111. That's 800-677-6111.
This is an Animal Radio News Update brought to you by Drs. Foster and Smith Pet Supplies, with thousands of quality products at low prices every day so you save on every order. Visit fosterandsmith.com.
I'm Tammy Trujillo. With the new year, it's now legal in California to take your dog to many restaurants as long as the restaurant has an outdoor space. Dogs have to be on leashes or in carriers, they have to be well-behaved, and they can't be where the food's being prepared. Now, it's still up to each restaurant to decide if dogs are welcome, and local laws will trump the new state law. But the idea here is to keep people from leaving dogs in hot cars during the summer or tied up alone outside of restaurants. A British study has just come out with a warning for people who have small children and also have an exotic reptile in the house, like a snake, a chameleon, iguana, gecko, something like that. The study found that 27% of the kids that came down with salmonella lived in homes with a reptile as a pet. Salmonella is a germ that in humans can cause gastroenteritis, colitis, blood infections, and meningitis. It doesn't make the reptiles sick, but they can carry the germ and they spread it through, let's say, their poops. A similar study was done here in the U.S., and it estimated that reptile-associated salmonella was behind 21% of all lab-confirmed cases of salmonella in people under the age of 21. Now, the key here, wash your hands after handling any type of reptile. Well, practically every boarding kennel can probably tell you a story about an animal being abandoned there, not just by individuals, sometimes by animal rescue groups as well. And that is the story of these two large tan dog brothers named Rowdy and Gwyn that I want to tell you about. These two were born in a kennel in Texas in October of 2006, and get this, they've spent their entire lives there. A few years back, the kennel owner turned them over to a group called the Forgotten Pet Advocates, where they've been for the last couple of years. And finally, this extremely bonded pair have an adoption pending together. A couple's been approved to adopt them, but it's not as easy as it might seem here. The two boys have never lived in a home before, just a kennel, so the process is going to take some time. The couple is visiting them weekly, and they'll take them home for a few hours a couple of times to help them make the transition. And if all goes well, fingers crossed here, the official adoption date is February the 14th, when these two very sweet dogs will finally get a home of their own. And that sounds like a perfect Valentine's Day to me. I'm Tammy Trujillo. Get more breaking animal news anytime at animalradio.com.
This has been an Animal Radio News Update brought to you by Drs. Foster and Smith Pet Supplies. Visit fosterandsmith.com for pet supplies selected by veterinarians with 100% satisfaction guaranteed.
Drs. Foster and Smith, your trusted source for quality, affordable pet supplies. Veterinarian owned, with veterinary expertise behind every product. Drs. Foster and Smith has thousands of name brand pet products, including pet medications, all with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Low prices every day, so you save on every order, with free shipping on orders $49 or more. Fast service delivered right to your door. Shop online at fosterandsmith.com, because your pet's health and happiness come first.
Really? No way.
Hey, I'm Eric from Sam Adams, here to get craft beer drinkers' reaction as they secretly taste Sam Adams Boston Lager.
It's got a good body.
It's got a great taste.
It's very smooth. I like that.
You think you've had this beer before?
No.
This is Sam Adams Boston Lager.
Sam Adams!
I was
going to
say Sam Adams.
That's easy to drink.
It's tasty. It's a very flavorful, drinkable beer.
Smooth, but it does have flavor.
I love a Boston Lager.
What this test did is it put Sam Adams back on the map for me.
Boston Beer Company, Boston, Mass. Save responsibly.
Geico presents Fan Mail to a Pig.
Dear Maxwell, first off, hope you are well. And I am. Seems like all you do is promote Geico's web and app abilities. And while I really enjoyed your last commercial where you talked about how I could take a photo of my VIN number and add it to my account all via my Geico app, I've got to think it doesn't leave you much time for anything else. Do tell. Sincerely, Miranda Morgan. Well, Miranda, thank you for asking. And this Geico spokespig does have time to do other things. For instance, I do a lot of
VIN scanning to add a car. Just a tap away on the Geico app.
Animal Radio's Hero People is underwritten by Zuterin, a non-surgical alternative to dog castration. One injection provides a safe, permanent, and virtually painless alternative to surgical castration. Learn more at www.zuterin.com. That's Zuterin.com.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Find us at animalradio.com. Log on, learn more.
I gotta tell you, Judy, I really need a hero today.
the Dr. Laura thing really brought me down, and I need somebody that's doing something good for the animals now.
Now, fortunately, we have some good people out there.
If you know some of these good people and you want to nominate them for our Hero Person of the Week, send us an email to yourvoice@animalradio.com. Yourvoice@animalradio.com. Today, we welcome David Chapman to the airwaves. He runs the Llama Sanctuary. That is, I don't know where that is. How are you, David?
Hello, I'm very well, thank you.
Where is the Llama Sanctuary?
The Llama Sanctuary is located in a tiny little, not even a village, of Kingfisher near Enderby, and that's in southern British Columbia.
Oh, is that where we're calling you?
That is, yes, in a snowy scene of blue sky.
Oh, yes.
Snow-laden trees all around. Yes, quite scenic here at the moment, but this is the North Okanagan region and British Columbia.
Now, up there you have llamas and alpacas, and before we get going, because I'm the idiot here, what's the difference between a llama and an alpaca?
There are a few differences, and sometimes they can be very similar and difficult to tell apart, but generally the alpaca is smaller, about half to two-thirds the size of a llama. It has short, pointed ears, whereas the llama tends to have big, curving banana-shaped ears with sometimes with tassels and fiber on them, and they have a very different coat, and that's how you'd really tell the difference between them. Is the alpaca has a very close fiber, whereas the llama tends to be layered.
Do they both spit?
They both spit. Alpacas, in our experience, alpacas spit first, ask questions later. The llamas, they don't like to spit because the spittor is as badly affected as the spitty in llama language. You know, after spitting, they stand for 15 minutes or so with their mouth open, drooling because it affects them so badly. So usually they avoid spitting if they can, and if they do spit, then it's usually just an air spit. You know, it's a blow up into the air of literally just air or the contents of whatever they're chewing. Whereas alpacas will start off with the deep green smelly stuff and progress from there.
Sounds like a Saturday night for me.
Yes, so what... it is. And just to dispel another myth.
Uh-huh.
It is really rare for us to be spat at. In fact, I think we might get spat at once or twice a year, and usually it's when we're doing something serious that they don't like. But we do get spat upon if we get caught in between an argument. Usually two females are fighting it out, and if we get caught in the middle of it, then we get covered.
Wow, that's less times than I get spit at in a week. So you have a sanctuary, and I got to ask, why or how do animals, these particular alpacas or llamas, end up at your sanctuary? Are they ill? Are they injured? What makes them homeless, and why can't they fend for themselves?
Well, the llamas and alpacas are not native to Canada nor North America. About 20 years or so ago, llamas fetched a very high price, certainly in Canada, and I know that it was the same in the United States. $20,000 was not uncommon for selling a llama. And then suddenly the market just collapsed. They were no more valuable than a stray dog. And a lot of the llamas ended up just being given away as alpacas came in to be the next great thing, the next great money earner. And a lot of these poor llamas ended up as pets, as guard llamas. You know, they were used for guardians on farms and ranches. And some people thought it would be a really cool idea to have a pet llama. And unfortunately, they didn't have either the desire or the skill to manage it. And like every other pet, there are occasions when people get fed up with it and they just don't do anything with it, and it sits and rots in a field somewhere. Or, as is most common for us, repossession of homes. When homes are repossessed and the people get out of their home in a very short order, if they've got a horse, usually they can find a home for the horse quickly, but the llama is more difficult, and they tend just to let it go. It either stays in a field or they just open up the gate and send it off into the forest. And we get a call saying there's a llama hanging around somewhere. You know, can we come and catch it or do something with it? And we'll go along, we'll round it up, bring it back in, give it a health check, and then seek another home for it. The latest one that we had, the owner had a stroke, an elderly gentleman had a stroke, and is essentially mortally ill. He won't be returning to his home, and he had a llama looking after some goats. So there was no one in this family left, so some friends were sorting out the house, and we took the llama, and she's a beautiful creature. She didn't have any training, so she was very difficult to catch. It took us 4 visits to actually catch her and bring her back, and we'll do some training with her, halter training, more so in the spring now. It's a little bit difficult to do it in the winter, but once she's trained, she's in good health, hopefully we'll find a new home for her.
How do you pay for rescuing all these llamas that you rescue?
Mostly from our own pockets. We run a business, or several businesses, from home on the internet and telephone, and so it's mostly from our own pockets as a hobby gone crazy.
The hair must be valuable. Can you make any money from that to pay for their rescuing?
A little bit. Really, the fiber is not of great value, especially since probably half of the animals we have here, more than half of the llamas, are what they call classic llamas. So they have a very coarse fiber over the top of the soft down. So the soft down we can brush out, which we do anyway. We groom them and brush it out. But there isn't a great quantity of it to do much with. The fiber llamas, which have a softer guard hair, they can be sheared. But once again, if we get sort of $10 for a fleece, you know, not a lot.
Okay.
And so what we do is we run workshops. We use the fiber from those animals that we take the fiber from. We use their fiber and we run workshops teaching people to spin, to process fiber, to felt, to knit, crochet. Whatever, that's another method of bringing in income.
Sure. Well, you're doing great work. I encourage listeners to check out the website, llamasintheraw.com. And, of course, links to everything you've heard on today's show over at animalradio.com. Do you name them all? How many do you have there right now?
We have about 36. They're not all rescues. We have some borders, some long-term borders here.
Uh-huh.
But they all have names. They all have very distinctive
names. Are any of them Lorenzo? Did you name any of them Lorenzo?
No, we haven't got a Lorenzo.
Okay, I was just checking.
We have a Cusco. We have a Cusco from the Emperor's New Groove.
Oh, yes. Well, of course. This is cool. I'm so glad you're doing what you're doing. You're our hero this week, and I encourage people to check out the website. We'll put all the links over at animalradio.com. And keep up the good work. I'm going to send you a few bucks, okay?
Thank you very much.
There he goes. David Chapman calling us from British Columbia. That's in Canada, right?
He just has a British accent. That's all.
Yes.
Animal Radio's Hero People is underwritten by Zooterin, the only FDA-approved non-surgical method for sterilization of male dogs. Zooterin offers an alternative to neutering male dogs, thus helping reduce the pet overpopulation problem. One injection provides a safe, permanent, and virtually painless alternative to surgical castration. Zooterin, a permanent and cost-effective alternative to neutering male dogs. Learn more at www.zooterin.com. That's Zeuterin.com.